Welcome to a message from Oasis Church. For more information about Oasis Church and how you can get connected, please visit myoasischurch.com. Here's Pastor Mark Pearl. Enjoy the message.
Are you ready for the word today? All right. Let's go in our Bibles to Acts chapter 10. Acts chapter 10. And I want to talk to you this morning, kind of a different message a little bit, maybe. I don't know. It's got nothing to do with the country. Well, it does, but if everybody believed this way, our country would be good. But, you know, because I prayed about, you know, just talking about our nation this morning. The Lord said, no, I don't want you to do that yet. Just hold off. You know, some of the things that are going on and have happened, and it seemed like a good time to talk about it. It's fresh, but the Lord said, no, I don't want you to do that. So I'm not going to do it. I work for Him. I don't work for current events. Hello. I want to tell you something else. I don't base my prayer life off current events. I base my prayer life off of the Holy Ghost. Amen. And just because something's happening doesn't mean I'm even going to pray about it. Amen. I might. Are you listening to me? You got quiet on that, but you'll learn that. You get over. You start doing that and the devil start leading your prayer life. That's what will happen. I'm not letting him lead my prayer life. I'm going to be led by the Holy Ghost. Now, the Lord may have me pray for current events and things going on, but then again, he may not. So, I mean, what I'm talking about, pray about. I'm talking about sincerely spend a lot of time praying about it. You know what I'm saying? I mean, you know, you can pray about a lot of things during the day if you just have some faith about it, right? All right. Are you ready?
Yes.
Let's go. Acts chapter 10.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Verse 38. I'm going to preach on this verse this morning. Maybe probably look at some other verses, but this is going to be my foundation verse. How God... did I tell you what I was preaching on?
No.
I'm going to preach on living the life of a blesser.
Amen.
All right, you ready?
Yes.
How God anointed Jesus Christ, Jesus of Nazareth, with the Holy Ghost or Holy Spirit and power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. Now, I thought about this. I thought, you know what? I've preached on how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and power. So two things. I thought, you know, I've preached about how he went about healing all. And I preached about how sickness was the oppression of the devil. And I preached about for God was with him. So I thought, I have preached about everything in this verse except the phrase, he went about doing good. I've never preached about he went about doing good. So I'm just going to preach the rest of this verse. How about that?
Amen.
He went about doing good. Now, I was just read that verse and thought, well, you know, the good that he went about doing was the healing. All that were oppressed the devil. Well, that is true, right?
Amen.
But when you study this out, this that he went about doing good, that's not what it's talking about. I mean, that's included, but that's not everything it's talking about. This word, I studied this word out. This word, doing good, it's really, the King James, it's doing good, and most translations, it's doing good, but in the Greek, it's one word, okay? And I studied this word out. And it means to be philanthropic or a philanthropist. I mean, what a philanthropist is. Am I saying that right? Philanthropist? Listen, you just work with me. There's some words I don't say well. You know what? Listen, you may not know this, but I am actually tongue-tied. I'm not supposed to be able to talk plain. We say, we know that. We know. Well, I'm asking for some grace. All right. You know, when I was a kid, my mom, when she found that out, she took me to the doctors. She didn't even know it until I was old enough to talk. And then she took me to the doctor and said, you know, what should we do about this? And normally they'll clip that and fix that. And he said, can he talk plain? She said, yes. And the doc just said, leave it alone. So here I am. I'm over 60 and it's still left alone. So if I don't say philanthropist the way you like it, then you just suck it up. Because some of you don't even know what it is. At least I know what it is. How do you know what a philanthropist is? And actually, I think I'm saying the word right. I think you all got it wrong or something. I don't know what's wrong with you today. But, you know, it's someone who gives of their stuff. Right? See, the word, so the word means, you know, to be philanthropic or be a philanthropist. It describes one who uses their financial resources to meet the needs of others. It's someone, this is another meaning, it's someone who gives food, clothing, or some other commodity associated with physical or material needs. In other words, when it says here in Acts chapter 10:38 that Jesus went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, it one of the things it means, he went about blessing people. He went about feeding people. Well, we know he did that, right? He'd feed the 5,000, you know, plus women and children. And more than once he did that. He fed the multitudes. But he gave away money. He gave away clothing. He gave away material needs. He went about doing good. Amen. Now, that I never had seen that in that verse. I just always thought the good meant, you know, the healing and all that. But as I was studying that, I found out, well, that makes a whole lot of sense. Because when you study the ministry of Jesus, one of the things you're going to notice about him is he obviously had a reputation for taking care of the poor. Right? Now, because Acts chapter 20, verse 35 talks about this. It says, Paul said, you remember the words of our Lord Jesus, how he said it's more blessed to give than it is to receive. Now, the interesting thing, how many believe Jesus said that, right? But yet, it's not recorded in the Gospels that he said that. You can't read red letter where that's ever mentioned. But he said it so much, even though Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John didn't record that saying, Paul knew about it. How many remember when they were at the Lord's, what we call the Last Supper, and Jesus was serving communion to them, right? I'm going to preach about that sometime. And there's some stuff in there about betrayal, you know. But we'll talk about that later. But Jesus, you know, Judas had already covenanted with the elders, the scribes, to sell Jesus out, to deliver him. In other words, at the right time, he was going to go get them and take them to where Jesus was. All right. See, obviously at this point in Jesus' ministry, he was keeping a low profile. It wasn't time for him to be taken yet. But now they're all together in this room where they're having Passover meal and what we call the Last Supper. And they've taken communion. They've had the bread and the wine. And then Jesus looked at Judas and he said, "What you do, do it quickly." In other words, it's time. Go do it. And so the other disciples, they didn't know what it was about. They thought he had told Judas to leave and get something for their meal, or that he should go give something to the poor. Now, if Jesus wasn't regularly given to the poor, they wouldn't have thought that, would they? They wouldn't have thought that. But that was one of the things they thought. See, you remember it was Lazarus' sister Martha. She came in and broke that precious oil perfume and poured it on Jesus. Mary. I said Martha. Mary poured that perfume on Jesus. Remember that? And Judas said, "Why was such a waste made? Why wasn't this sold and given to the poor?" So they were used to Jesus giving stuff to the poor, weren't they? Now, see, the point, though, Judas didn't do that because he cared about the poor. It's because he was the treasurer, and he was taking stuff out. So he wanted more money to the treasury. Isn't it sad the treasurer is the one that goes bad? Well, not here. It got real quiet, didn't it? It's like, I didn't know about it, Pastor. No, not here. But sometimes that's the way, you know, it's like a minister I heard one time. He had a treasure in his ministry. And, you know, as your ministry gets bigger, you don't know everything that's going on. I heard one minister say that one of his friends called him one day and said, you know, he said, you're a financial department. He said, I'm sending in offerings. And he said, your financial department keeps sending the checks back to me. Because he said, I signed my checks with my initials. And he said, they sent me a letter saying, we don't accept checks that are just initialed. Now, don't anybody ever do that here. We accept any check. He told this minister that they send my checks back because he said, I sign them with my initials. This minister, this is his ministry. He said, that's the way I sign my checks. He said, I found out we had a form letter telling people not to do that. He said, I didn't know it. See, and this minister said, he said, I had this guy, he was stealing from my ministry, you know. And he said, we caught him one day. And so, you know, that's fraud. We forgive you, brother. That's a legal problem. That has to be turned over to the police. You can't just say, we're sorry you did that. If it's you personally, that's a different thing. This is a ministry. This is fraud. This has to be dealt with legally. And so the police come to get him, and he's like, I don't understand why you're doing this. I tithe off everything. I have some discernment. That guy shouldn't have been in there to start with. But he said, I went to God, and I said, God, why did you allow this to happen? He said, the Lord spoke back, said, I had my Judas, you had yours. He said, I don't want everything you had. But Judas was a thief, right? He didn't care for the poor. But you know what? God, the very nature of God's a giver, a blesser. Think about it. What's the most famous Bible verse in the Bible? For God so loved the world that he what?
Gave.
He, what'd he do?
Gave.
He didn't say, I feel sorry for you. He gave his only begotten son. The Bible says he doesn't just give, you know, God doesn't just give in one area. He gives in all areas. The Bible says if you lack wisdom, ask God and he will give it to you liberally. Liberally.
Yes.
Isn't that something? Hallelujah. Amen? Amen. You know, when God called Abraham, his calling was to be a blessing. God said, I'm going to make of you a great nation. I'm going to bless you. And you will be a blessing. I will cause you to be a blessing. So God's not just, that was his whole calling, is to be a blessing. Now, I thought about this. Maybe this is why Jesus, maybe this is one of the reasons why Jesus was so anointed. Right? It's all in it again. Look at it again now. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil.
Amen.
Go over to, we're in Acts. Let's back up a few pages. Let's go. Back to Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2. Just talking about living the life of a blesser. Now I have a whole teaching on along these lines on another vein about about not living your life. Well, it's along this vein, but I've got another teaching, and it's about not just waking up every day thinking about how I can get blessed. But think about how I can be a blessing to someone else. That's how you really get blessed, really. Now, all right, let's go to Acts chapter 2, verse 42. And this is talking about the early church, what we call the early church, the first disciples there. It says in verse 42, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. And fear came upon every soul. And many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. And all that believed were together, and notice this, and they had all things common, and sold their possessions and goods, and parted them to all men as every man had need. I mean, they opened their wallets, didn't they? All right, let's go to Acts chapter 4. This is the same group of people. Acts chapter 4, go over there. Acts chapter 4. Amen. This may not be one of those shouting messages, but I'll tell you, it's a good one. And it's the heart of God. Amen. Acts chapter 4, verse 31 says, and when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness, and the multitude of them that believed were of one heart and of one soul. Neither said any of them that all of the things which he possessed was his own, but they had all things common. Let me stop there just for a minute. Let me know that the things that you own, you don't really own. Right? Because you know what? God's the possessor of heaven and earth. Right? You're just borrowing it. And the day that you die, you know, you could stick it in your casket, but it's not going anywhere. You're not taking it anywhere. Somebody will dig it up someday. You know, like some of the Egyptian pharaohs and stuff and all the gold and stuff they buried with it. Who was it that found some of King Tut's or somebody's? Who was that guy? What was that guy's name that found that? Okay, you're not up on your history today, are you? Who was it? Preston would know. Yeah, he probably would, wouldn't he? I can't remember, but anyway, can you imagine opening it up and finding all that gold? It didn't go anywhere with him. See, you know, you've heard it said, you never see a U-Haul following a hearse. Because you're not taking anything with you. Because we're just borrowing it. We're just stewards of it, see. And so, you know, if you get possessive of it, that's when you get stingy. That's when people, they won't tithe, they won't give, they won't help. You know, it's like, it's mine. I have to, you know, I have to manage God's money. Well, how come you won't turn loose any of God's money? I just have to manage it. No. Now, you do have to manage God's money. You got to remember it's God's money. Right? What if he would tell you, like the rich young ruler, to give it all away? Oh, man, we lost oxygen on that one. You know, he could, right? He did the rich young ruler. Now, the reason he did the rich young ruler is because money had him. You know, the Bible said he had great possessions, but the truth was great possessions had him. You know what I'm saying? I mean, but what if God did that? What if he told you to give it all away? Well, I couldn't do that. Well, you could if he told you, because if he told you, he'd take care of you. Amen. Moving on from that, that's not going over very big, but hallelujah. He still could, right? See, now I want you to notice they had opened up their pocketbook to help. And verse 33, and with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was on them. Remember, we're calling this a year of power. Yes. Great power. How many want great power? Yes. How many want great grace? Yes. Well, maybe we ought to be as liberal as they were in their giving and their blessing. Right? I'm not talking, now look, I'm not talking about giving to the church. Of course, that's part of it. But they were blessing one another. Amen. They were helping people. Right? I mean, you know, you got three cars and somebody didn't have one. What do you need three for? You can't drive them all three at once. I'll never forget something Pastor told me one time, Dr. Barclay. He went to preach for a minister. You see, God wants us blessed. Don't misunderstand me. But he doesn't want us to be selfish. When we are blessed. But he said, I went to preach for this pastor. And he said, this pastor said, I want to show you my airplane. He said, I got an airplane. He said, it's nice. Doc said, okay, let's go out to the airport. So we went out to the airport. They look at the airplane. Doc asked him, Dr. Barclay asked him, he said, how often do you use this? He said, oh, a couple times a year. Dr. Burke said, I'm ashamed of you. He said, why? He said, you use this two times a year. Yeah. He said, yeah. He said, isn't it great? God bless me with that. I mean, the church got this and all. Isn't this great? He said, no, it's not. Listen to how quiet it is. He said, no, it's not. He said, and you don't need it. He said, take that and give that to somebody that really needs it. Amen. Come on. Amen. Amen. Now, and God, that's the way God, He wants us to open up and just be blessers. Now, not just, you know, to everybody. Are you with me now? Yeah. See, you got to strive to bless people in the restaurants. Strive to bless people in different places where you're at. When you do that, God will see to it that the windows of heaven are opened up over you. That's right. Amen. Amen. You know, just think about, well, you know, you go into a restaurant, oh, man, I'm just barely feeding my kids. I mean, I don't, maybe that's why. How many, great power, how many want great power? Yeah. How many want great grace? Yeah. Verse 34, neither was there any among them that lacked. For as many as were possessors of lands or houses sold them and bought the prices of the things that were sold and laid them down at the apostles' feet, and distribution was made to every man according as he had need. I honestly believe that this opening up of their pocketbook caused the power of God to open up along with it. Amen. The great grace, the great power. I think it had something to do with it because they weren't just thinking about themselves. They were thinking about other people. Now, you know how I feel about this. Look, I'm not for helping people that are lazy and won't work. We have most of our beggars in our city that they fit in that qualification right there. Right? I see some of them work the same street corners all the time. That's their spot. That's where they go to work. I see them take noon lunch breaks and go to the fast food place, and they haul their bag and their drink back with them. That's what they do. Now, if they look north, some of you may not going to like this. If they look north, or they look south, or they look, am I going west, or they look east, you know what they'd find? Help wanted. I'm not giving you anything. Go get a job. But yet there are people that really need help. Right? We have a lot of elderly people that they need help. I'm not talking about in our church. Kenny's all right. I'm talking about... I couldn't resist that. He'll get me back. You know what I'm talking about. There's a huge difference in people that really need help and people just won't work. They're just lazy. Well, let me just say something else about being a blesser. You don't have to be a blesser. You don't have to find somebody that needs help. You can just be a blesser. Listen to the Lord. Some people might just need refreshing. You know, I don't know, that person may be here, that person that did that last Sunday, that bought Phyllis and I's dinner, you may be here, you may be in our church, maybe they don't go to our church, I don't know, but we were just eating it. You know, we had gift cards that some of y'all had given us and went to a restaurant to use the gift cards, had the gift cards, and then we get ready to pay with the gift cards, and the waitress says, no, somebody got your meal. Somebody got your meal. We said, well, who did it? They said, well, I don't know, they got blonde hair, and they're kind of, did they say they was kind of tall? Maybe I said they were kind of tall, because I was trying to figure out who it was. And they said, they come here a lot, and they read. And I thought, okay, blonde hair, and they come here, and they read. That narrows it down a lot. A lot of people have blonde hair, whether natural or out of a bottle. A lot of people read. But all I could think of is, Lord, bless them. That refreshed me. That refreshed me. I didn't need it. Why? All right, somebody had already bought my meal for that place with gift cards. Now I got the gift cards and I can go back in. And see, God's blessed me. Thank God, I'm thankful for the gift cards. I don't even need the gift cards. I can do it myself just with my own money. So I don't need it. So it wasn't like I'm poor. And, you know, but yet at the same time, somebody was being a blesser. And, you know, God sometimes knows that, you know, that people just need refreshed. They just need blessed like that. Yeah. And when you live your life like that, just looking for somebody to bless, I'm telling you, God's looking for you. Yeah. He's looking for you, man. He wants to pour something out on you. Because if he can find somebody that will get involved that way, I tell you what, God's going to use you. Amen. You know, that's the purpose that God had for Israel. He wanted them to obey him and be so blessed that they blessed the nations. He said, you will lend to many and not borrow. You'll help many nations, but you won't have to have help yourself. Isn't that what Paul said in the New Testament? That all grace abound to you, that you have no need in anything, but that you can abound to every good work. Hallelujah. That's New Testament, folks. That you're so blessed you don't have to think about your needs. You can start thinking about other people's needs. Hallelujah. And I'll tell you, if you get involved in this, I've seen God do this where you just want to bless somebody, you just want to help somebody. He'll start getting stuff to you. You know, I heard someone say, and I'm just, you know, sometimes I don't like to tell what I do, but sometimes you have to say some things so people have examples. They have to see examples. And so, you know, I heard someone say one time, but I wasn't listening in on their conversation. They were just close enough to me. I was in church, and they were on the front row, and I was on the front row. Church had just got over it. We were talking to one another, and I heard this person say that they wanted something. But you know, they didn't have the money to get it, but they wanted it. And they weren't throwing faith hints. They were just having a conversation with somebody else. You understand what I mean by that? They weren't throwing faith hints at somebody, hear this and buy this for me. All right, they actually were just having a conversation. I wasn't even in a part of it. I was a few feet away, but I couldn't help. It's like my ear went to that. And when I heard that, the Lord said, I want you to make that happen for them. Well, it was a few $1,000s. I didn't have the money, honestly. At that time, I didn't have the money to do it. I said, well, Lord, you get me the money, and I'll make that happen. And so I began confessing I was going to be able to do that. I began to confess I'm going to do that. I began to put my words in action, put my mouth in motion. And my wife can tell you, God is a witness. I don't know. It might have been 3, 4, 5 weeks later. I can't remember now. But it wasn't a long time, but it was a few weeks later. We got a check in the mail, and it was the exact enough money to give them to go get what they wanted to get. Now, your flesh will jump in. Because as soon as I saw that check, I thought, well, glory to God. And Miss Holy Ghost stepped in and said, there's the money. Oh, no, now this is for something else, honey. This ain't for Dad. This is for Papa. No, you better not do that, right? You better use it, you know, the way God intended it to be used. See, the Bible talks about God supplies seed to the sower and bread to the eater. So see, part of the stuff he blesses us with, it's seed to sow.
That's right.
Right? Part of it's bread to eat. You can eat it. You can devour it. But if you get that mindset, everything I have, I'm going to devour, you're going to end up in poverty. That's really where poverty began. Selfish people started poverty. Well, it got quite on. I didn't say poor people were selfish. I said that's how it began, by somebody withholding more than was right. Are you with me now? See, Proverbs 11, 20, 24 and 25 says there's one that withholds more than is right, and it leads to poverty. It causes poverty. But there's one that gives, and he has more. The liberal soul shall be made fat. The liberal soul shall be made fat. What does that fat mean? It doesn't mean physically fat. It means prosperous, right, blessed with all kinds of things. Amen. And the interesting thing, I have a Cambridge Bible in the cross reference where it says the liberal soul, it says the soul of blessing. When your soul becomes a soul of blessing. This takes transformation. This takes renewing of the mind, because we're born with selfish natures because of the fall. What's one of the first things a young child learns to say a lot of times? Mine. No. Right? One of our granddaughters, I'll leave her an unnamed, but she really knew how to say mine. She would go, mine. Where did she get that from? It's the as sweet and lovely as those kids are, they still have a nature that needs to be born again at some point. Right? You know, once they get old enough to know right from wrong, we need to get that nature born again. Oh, you can get born again younger than that. Don't misunderstand me. But you know what I'm saying? They'll be accountable for it when they know right from wrong. You know, when you were a kid, you told lies and didn't think it was anything and think about it was being wrong. Till grandma comes along. She straightens it out. One of our granddaughters was lying one day. Well, it wasn't just one day. Multiple days. Forget. Phyllis told her, she said, do you know? I mean, you know, after a while, you just got to deal with this, you know. So Phyllis says to her, do you know where liars go? Huh, where? She said, they go to hell. Oh, I wouldn't dare tell my child that. Well, somebody better tell some people that. Yeah, she goes, I don't want to go to hell. I'm sorry, Grandma. Grandma said, don't tell me you're sorry. You better tell Jesus you're sorry. So she hears her. She goes, I don't pray quiet. Now, that was cute. But, you know, there comes a time when it's not cute any longer, right? But she did learn a good lesson that day that, you know, this just isn't acceptable. Amen. How do we get off on this?
When you're young, you don't think
about
anything about lying.
Yeah, I don't even know why I was off on that. But anyway, what are we preaching about today? The liberal soul. That's it. The soul of blessing, thank you, Teach. It gets a part of you. You renew your mind, and now you think that way. Amen. And it's amazing how many times that Phyllis and I will be in a restaurant, you know, and, you know, we're not just trying to figure out what's the lowest amount we can get by here tipping. Still look like we're decent people. Come on. You know what I'm saying? Because God's people can be cheap. You know, I heard this. Don't forget about us being in a restaurant. But I heard this survey one time about who are the biggest tippers, you know, in the nation. There's a survey about everything. And so this survey, and it will surprise you. So, you know, some of these politicians that talk about helping the poor. And you know whose money they're talking about using?
Yours.
Yeah, yours. That's why they talk so big and bold and puffed up about it. But when you check some of their records, they don't give hardly anything. Just hypocrites. Good preaching, Pastor. Hallelujah. But they did a survey of you know, the top entertainers, and some of them just pitiful. But they said the number one entertainer, number one top entertainer tipper is, or it was at this time, Hank Williams Jr. Amen. Wasn't he the guy that did Cry in My Beer or something like that? You know, real deep. Yep, anyway. Tear in My Beer, that's what it was. See, I used to, now see, some of y'all, I remember his dad. You know, junior means there's a senior.
Right.
And his dad, he's the guy that wrote the song about the doghouse. Move over, little dog, because the big dog's climbing in. But they said about him, we're way off. This message has gone to pot now. Phyllis is trying to get me to go back to the restaurant. We'll get there. But they said, you know, when you come wait on this table, first thing he does is give you $50 to start you out. And now, if you do good, then you'll get some more. Amen. Amen. And so, we don't just sit there and just see. We're talking about being a soul of blesser. I'm not talking about blessing somebody that can bless me back. I mean, her and I, we gave a little girl I call her a little girl. She wasn't a little girl, but she was to us. She, you know, she was probably early 20s anyway. And far away from home, we talked to her far away from home, you know, and would like to go back and see her mom and all. I'm telling you, we gave her a good tip. Now, we left before she knew what we gave her. We've never seen her again. I don't know if we've ever seen her again. She may have taken the tip and went home. I don't know. I mean, it wasn't that much to send her home. Well, it would help, but it was way more than what the meal required. But that's just called being a soul of blessing. And of course, Phyllis, I didn't have a business card, but gave her a card with our church address on, invited her to come to church and all that. See, you don't just see how little you can do. You see how big you can push it out there.
Yeah, right.
Amen. Now, let's go. Are you getting something this morning?
Amen.
Let's go in our Bibles. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 2, and we're getting ready to wind down here. Ephesians chapter 2. I'm a little time conscious today because I got to be someplace else fairly quickly, but we're still going to go through this, all right?
Amen.
Ephesians chapter 2. Go with me to verse 10 of Ephesians chapter 2, if you would, please. You got it? It says, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them." Now, I want to read that to you out of the Amplified Bible and bring out some things. All right. This is the Amplified Bible. Listen to this. Unless you have an Amplified Bible, just listen to this. "For we are God's own handiwork, his workmanship, recreated in Christ Jesus, born anew." Now, here's the reason why. Here's the reason why. "That we may do those good works which God predestined. He planned beforehand for us, taking paths which he prepared ahead of time, that we should walk in them," listen to this, "living the good life which he prearranged and made ready for us to live." Woo! Hallelujah. Now, what's that verse saying? It's saying God had us born again. You know, one of the reasons he had us born again is so we could do the good works that he had pre-planned for us to do.
Amen.
Now, I got to study. I got a whole teaching on this. I've been teaching this for years. But I got to studying this out and thinking about it and thought about this. God actually has preordained paths for you and I to walk in our lives, that we can do good works. Now, what does that mean? That means as we're obeying him, as we're worshiping him, as we're loving him, as we're submitted to him in our everyday lives, you know, this doesn't work for people that aren't obeying him, but it works for people that are obeying him. In our everyday lives, as we're walking around, he's got paths for us to walk in. Amen. And unknowingly at times, sometimes we may know it, probably most time we won't even know it. He's going to lead us to run into people that he wants us to bless. He wants us to sow to. He wants us to, whether that's money, it could be money. It may not even be money. It may just be a nice word they hadn't heard all day long. You know, that'll go a long way sometimes. You know, I heard a preacher say one time, he said, you know, they had overbooked the plane. Why do they overbook planes? Huh? Some people don't show up. Well, at least you're trying to help them out. I was just thinking because they don't know what they're doing. But anyway, how many of they overbook planes, right? And this plane was severely overbooked, and people are trying to get somewhere, and they are mad, they are angry. There's this minister, he needs to be on there. And he said, you know, he said, I need to be on there. He said, I got a meeting in 5 hours, so I need to fly. I need to get there. I'm scheduled to be preached at this church. And he said, these people, you know, the people behind the counter didn't do the overbooking. They're just taking the heat for it. He said, these people are cussing this woman out. They've got her to the point of tears. And he said, you know, they're just mad and angry. He said, when I got up there, he said, I got up there and he said, You know what? He said, hey, I'm sorry for the way these people are treating you. This is a ministry. This is the way us Christians ought to be. Right? Come on, we shouldn't be the angry ones throwing the fits.
Come on.
Anybody ever had to repent for that before? Come on. Yeah. But that's not the way we're supposed to live our lives. So he said, and this isn't word for word, but he said, I'm sorry for the way these people are treating you. He said, this isn't right. I know it's not your fault. I know you're having a bad day. He said, I've got to be somewhere in 5 hours to speak. He said, if there's any way you can get me on this plane, I sure would appreciate it. He said, she began typing. He said, I heard her go, He said, she looked at me and said, you got your bags? He said, got them right here. He said, follow me. He said, she took us through these back corridors. I don't know where we were going. He said, but when we got done, we were seated on the plane.
First class.
First class.
Amen.
And I like what he said, she said. She said, you know those people back there? The ones at the counter? The ones that throwing all the fit? She don't know. They don't know this, but I can help you or I can hurt you. You better watch. Because the way you act can mess up your favor. Hallelujah. Come on. So we're not just blessers. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. We're in church. Glory to God. Oh, brother, you need a quarter. You know what I'm saying? See, some people are so tight when they open their wallet, moths fly out of it. Hadn't been opening so long. We shouldn't be that way. Amen. But I want you know, see, there is something, and I preached on this, and we're getting ready to close, but I preached on this a long time ago about the blessing cycle. And what is the blessing cycle? It's a biblical thing. It's a biblical law that when we bless, we get blessed back. See, this is what this is talking about. God's got preordained paths for us to walk in to be a blessing, but then we're going to be living the good life. Blessing's going to come back. So he's got preordained paths for us to walk in to bless people, but he's got preordained paths for us to walk in to get blessed. But it's all hinged on us being the blessing. Amen. And what did Jesus say? Given, it'll be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over.
Amen.
Let me talk to you about the Shunammite. You got a moment more?
Amen.
See, I'm more in a hurry than you are, so I got a moment. So here we go. The Shunammite woman. Anybody remember the Shunammite woman? See, in 2 Kings, now who was the Shunammite woman? Well, the Shunammite woman was this lady, her and her husband. Elisha the prophet would go by their house every so often. Actually, quite often, the way it looked. And Elisha would go by their house, and she told her husband, she said, I perceive this is a holy man of God that passes by us continually. So he's going about his business, he's passing by their house, traveling in ministry, doing his ministry. And she says to her husband, let's build on to the house. Let's build on and add a room and put a bed in there and a table and a lamp and a chair. And let's build on and it shall come to pass when he comes by here, he can stay here. Well, that's pretty big seed, isn't it? To build on to your house so the man of God can stay there. And so... Elisha is in there with his servant Gehazi one day and he says, you know, this woman's been good to us. She's taken care of us. I mean, she's all these things she's done for us. What could we do for her? And his servant said, you know what? Said she doesn't have any child. She doesn't have a son. And her husband's an old man. And so he said, call her in there. And they called her in. And he told her, he said, about this time next year, you're going to have a son. She said, don't lie to me, man of God. Real faith woman, right? But she was a giver, though. And about, well, because she was older, you know, and it was most likely past the time of life. But you know what? The next year, you know what she had? Anybody know? She had a son. That son grew a little bit and it died. And she went and got the man of God. She went and got Elijah. He, by the power of God, raised that child from the dead. I'm telling you, this woman got, let's call it 100-fold, right? And then later on, there was a famine coming into the land, and Elijah warned her. He said, hey, there's a famine come. You and your household, get out of here. Go live wherever you can live. So she went to the Philistines, the land of the Philistines. Was there for 7 years. Famine left. She came back. And when she came back on a day that the king and Elisha's, I'm talking about the blessing cycle. Everybody say blessing cycle. This is not coincidence, what I'm about to tell you. This is the blessing cycle. She came back on the very day that the king was visiting with Elisha's servant Gehazi. And Gehazi is telling the king all the great things Elisha has done in his ministry. And Elisha's servant says to the king, he says, matter of fact, Elisha raised a woman's son from the dead. I mean, the king's like, wow. And at that very time, this woman and her son show up to beg the king for their land back. And when she shows up before the king, Elisha's servant's telling this story, and Elisha's servant said, well, that's the woman right there. That's her son. And the king said, is it true? She said, it is. He gets one of his servants, the king does. He said, hey, get her house back. Get her land back for her. And get her 7 years of fruit that she missed out on because of the famine. I mean, in modern language, she got her house back, she got her land back, and 7 years worth of salary. That was not coincidence. Amen. That was the blessing cycle. Now let's go to, can you take one last scripture? Let's go to Romans chapter 12, verse 8. I want to close with this. Romans 12, 8. I'm just talking about living the life of a blesser. Living the life of a blesser. Romans chapter 12, and this is it. Woo, thank you, Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. Just looking to, you know, when you go in a restaurant today, think about it. Just think about it. God, is there somebody here you want me to bless? Is there somebody that, you know, that needs money? Is there somebody that needs cheering up? You know, you never know. Amen? Amen. You never know. I don't know if I should. Well, Doc tells it publicly, so I'm going to tell it. All right. He said he was doing his second job one day. And his first job's preaching. His second job is carrying bags for Miss Vicky. That's what he says. He says, that's my second job. So he said, I was doing my second job one day. And he said, you know, Vicky is trying on dresses and clothes and coming out and letting him, you know, what can you say? But honey, you look nice. And nothing else you can say. You certainly can't say some things. And so, you know, he's there. And he said, this young lady comes out and she's got a dress on. He said, I have no idea why. I said, I don't say stuff like this. He said, but she comes out in a dress, and he says, well, ma'am, you look nice in that dress. He said, no, I wouldn't say anything like that. He said, when I said that, she fell into my arms crying. He thought, this is the end of my life. Vicky's coming out of that dressing room, and I am a dead man. Listen to how it ended. He said, that young lady, he said, ma'am, please, ma'am, I'm just, my wife's in the dressing room. I don't know why I said that. And, you know, he didn't mean it like flirtatious. He just like, you look nice, you know what I'm saying, in a wholesome way. You look nice today. And she told him, she said, I told God, nobody loves me. I'm ugly, and I'm going to go home and kill myself. And you said that. And she was a backslidden Christian, Pentecostal, I think, and got back with Jesus and got her life delivered. Just because somebody said something that they wished they hadn't said and almost cost them their life. He almost died in the line of duty. I'm sure we would have played taps at his funeral. Here lies a great man that gave the ultimate sacrifice. He said something that got him killed by his wife. But it helped somebody else in the process. I had a little fun with you, but see, sometimes that's what, if we're just sensitive, that's all people need. They not necessarily need money. They need somebody to say an encouraging word to them. Just living a life of a blesser.
That's right.
Amen? All right, come on, let's close out. Come on, I hope you got something this morning. I've gone way past my time. I need to go. Romans chapter 8. You got it?
Amen.
Chapter 12, I'm sorry. Go to chapter 12. Yes. Chapter 12, got that?
Yes.
It says in verse 8, or he that exhorteth on exhortation, or he that giveth, let him do it, the King James says, with simplicity. Mm-hmm. With simplicity. Now, that word simplicity means this. It means two things. It means generously and without self-seeking. In other words, you don't do it so you can be patted on the back. Right? What did Jesus say? He said, when you do your alms, don't be like the hypocrites who sound a trumpet before they give. Can you imagine? They did that. The Pharisees, the hypocrites, they'd get ready to give. Da-da-da-da! Blunk. I mean, just be like if one of you out here and Brian and James are taking up the offering, and right before they get ready to put their tithe check in, they pull a bugle out. Da-da-da-da! Keep it. What did Jesus, they actually did that. And Jesus said, you have your reward. Your reward is you're going to be seen of men. He said, but when you do your alms, don't let your right hand know what your left hand does. Like one guy said, if your right hand doesn't know what your left hand's doing, you belong in Washington, D.C. What did he mean by that? He didn't say that people can never see. You don't ever want people to see you give. He didn't say that. He didn't say you could never tell people what you gave. He said, but if you do it for that reason, that's your reward. I don't know about you. I don't want my reward somebody pat me on the back. You know, later on, close your Bibles. Later on, he talked about fasting. He said, when you fast, anoint your head. Don't appear to men to fast. Man, I remember we used to have them at another church. They'd go on these fasting things, you know, and they'd come in dragging like this. What's wrong, brother? Oh, I'm on a fast. Oh, help me sit down. It's like, I don't know about you, I am not missing any meals so somebody can say, good job. It just ain't worth it. It just isn't worth it. I'm going to get the reward from God. Now, he didn't say people couldn't know you were fasting. You better tell your spouse because they don't fix your dinner. But the point is the reason why you're doing it. Why are you telling it? Because people think well of you. Jesus said, don't do that. You just lost. It's not worth it. It's just not worth it. So as we live lives of givers, we want to make sure we do it with the right motive. See, Jesus, he can keep your motive pure if you listen to him. That we do it because we have a heart of a blesser because of God. Praise God for his word. Amen.
That concludes today's message. For more information about Oasis Church, please visit myoasischurch.com. Thanks for listening.